And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Friday, April 9th, 2021. Good afternoon to you. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com. That is our home on the web. That's where you could find us, MarketTalkAg.com. You can find all of our radio affiliates there and much more. We got a lot to talk about on the show, a short amount of time to do it here on a Friday. We're going to bring in our friend Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge. Ted, good afternoon, sir, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Ted, we had a WASDE report earlier today, and for the most part, not a lot of surprises. There were some changes maybe on the global side of things, but mostly in the U.S., not a lot of surprises. Was there anything that came out of that WASDE report today that caught you off guard at all? To me, it just, again, seemed like no surprises.
No surprises in the end results for the domestic balance sheet. I mean, the carryout numbers came in very close to what the trade was expecting. So, you know, when you say no surprises, I'm going to agree with that when you look at the bottom line. But the movement that we saw on the balance sheet to get to those numbers, I thought was kind of interesting, especially for the soybeans. So for the soybeans, they did finally increase exports again by 30 million bushel. And actually, after last week, I'm starting to wonder, is that justified at this point? You know, so now I'm wondering if maybe the USDA is too high on exports. They also lowered the crush 10 million bushel, which, you know, we had 1 week, or I'm sorry, 1 month of NOPA crush where it came in a little bit lower than expected. I don't know if that was justified either. Either way, they left us with 120 million bushel carryover in soybeans domestically. And to me, it very much feels like this is the USDA drawing a line in the sand saying 120, that's our carryover. That's as tight as it's going to get unless we see a big splash on exports between now and the end of the marketing year, which would be extremely unusual because this is the time where Brazil really takes over as long as they've had a good crop. And also the USDA just raised the Brazilian crop by 2 million metric tons, more than what the trade was expecting. So my takeaway on the soybean report is a little bit of a bearish one. To me, this kind of says, all right, the idea of a tight balance sheet is intact, but are we running out of soybeans between now and the end of the marketing year? And the answer to that's probably not. Now, I do think there's a chance, Jesse, that we get hot and heavy on old crop soybeans again at some point, but I think that's further on down the line, say, July, August timeframe when your domestic end users are kind of scrambling to find whatever they can domestically, which isn't going to be much. And then also, you know, if we're having any sort of weather concerns about new crop, well, that new crop balance sheet is projected to be really very tight too with the lower acreage number. And the idea is going to be we're going to need to try to bring in as many bushels into next year as absolutely possible. So I don't think the old crop soybean story is over. But I do think with good-looking planting or good-looking weather for planting and the idea that we're probably going to get a little more acres than what we saw in the planting intentions report, to me, this would be now the right time frame to have a little bit of a break in these markets. And honestly, I'd love to see that because to me, that'd be opportunity. But this was not the bullish spark that I think a lot of the market wanted to see, like a 105 carryover for soybeans that would have sent us sharply higher given us an excuse to take another leg higher in soybeans. I just didn't see that from this report, especially with the USDA raising Brazil 2 million acres.
Yeah, and really, you look at that soybean report. Yeah, and you look at that soybean report, and I would totally agree with you on that. And, you know, you mentioned maybe finding some more soybean acres. I mean, we're looking at hot and dry weather really driving this wheat market, especially Minneapolis wheat up there in the Dakotas, that spring wheat. And I know that was a market leader here on the day Friday. What are you seeing with wheat out there right now? That seems to be a market we've really keyed on this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't a bullish report for wheat from a domestic standpoint with the carryover increasing. But yeah, you look at the problems of spring wheat. You know, I mean, the part of the planting intentions report that came as a surprise is that the wheat acres are going to be up a bit. And, you know, you talk to guys in the Dakotas that are really, really very dry. Some got a little bit of rain in the last couple of days, but a lot of them missed out. And they're like, well, I've tried going out and planting wheat, but it's been super windy, super dry. It's just not worth it. I'm going to wait. And maybe those acres might get shifted back over to row crops, which, by the way, I think a fair amount of that will. And overall, the global balance sheet, the domestic balance sheet's not terribly tight for wheat, but spring wheat is an interesting animal because it's a different varietal that we use for different things. And we've seen in the past where if that spring wheat crop is tight and that spring wheat balance sheet by itself is tight, that can lead the wheat complex as a whole on a rally. And honestly, I really do feel like after the break off of highs that we've seen in wheat, and I'm looking at Chicago and Kansas City too, I think we found some very good support here. I think there's reason to kind of bounce back up. And again, led by the spring wheat and the idea that we're going to see lower acres probably, and yields might suffer from late planting and the dryness that they're experiencing, and not a very good looking forecast going forward.
On the corn side, it seemed like fairly neutral there today. But again, I know some of those numbers, it was interesting how they got there. Any thoughts on the corn side of the report today, Ted?
They were a little bit more aggressive than I thought they were going to be. I had them lowering carryover by 75 million bushel. That's 50 million in exports and 25 million in ethanol. They went further than that. They went 75 in exports and 75 on feed. And then I think it was, 25 on ethanol. So a total of 150 million bushel carryover. But to me, this very much feels like a rip the Band-Aid off experience for the USDA. They had been so reluctant to do anything with that balance sheet for the last few months. So now that they finally have done that, I'm going to say it was a little bit for everybody on this report, bulls and bears. From a bullish perspective, you can say, hey, that balance sheet continues to get tighter and it could get really continue to get tighter between now and the end of the marketing year. Yes, I do think they were justified in increasing exports. But going forward, I think it's going to be really hard to say that balance sheet needs to get any tighter because we've got a lot of outstanding export sales to make specifically to China. And I don't see China coming in and buying a big splash purchase of old crop corn at this point. If they were going to buy, I really think it would be new crop. So I kind of worry that some of those are going to get rolled in the new crop anyways. And ultimately we end up at a 1.4 to a 1.5 billion bushel carryover. So for me, same thing we were talking about the soybeans. I think it was a friendly number. It was what the trade was expecting. But going forward, now we look at planting. Now we look at planting weather. And to me, this would be a proper time to see a bit of a break in the market and trade a little bit lower, which again, I think would be an opportunity. But the fact of the matter is this particular ending stock number doesn't say that we're running out of corn between now and the end of the marketing year. At some point, I think we will be worried about taking every single bushel we can into next marketing year because we're going to need it. But at least for right now, I think the old crop situation kind of simmers down just a little bit.
Real briefly, I know got about a minute here. I know you got a tight schedule. Any advice for producers after this report, now that we're wrapping up the week, kind of maybe the next couple of weeks ahead, is there anything they should look at doing with their marketing plan?
Yeah, you know, so I hope guys are 80 to 90% at least on old crop, if not completely sold out. I have been a proponent of wanting to take some old crop bushels into the middle of the summer, just because I'm kind of curious to see what happens there. But listen, you know, hopefully rather far along on old crop. If not, time to play some catch up. But for new crop, I do feel like you'd be justified to have 30 to 40, maybe even 30 to 50% sold on new crop soybeans. And same thing for corn, although I'm leaning more towards 40 to 50% sold on new crop corn. I would look for that planting break, if things go well, to maybe come in and re-own some of those bushels in case we do have any weather issues this year and prices go sharply higher. But I think you should be fair along on your new crop marketing at this point. We've had really good prices. The risk is that something happens or occurs to really destroy demand, i.e., let's say China invades Taiwan and we say, we're not going to do business with you anymore. Or ASF just starts running absolutely rampant over in China, or any number of things that could happen. So I want you to be fairly far along on your sales, but I also want you to have an eye on the markets looking for that opportunity to re-own if we get a halfway decent break here over the next 3 or 4 weeks or so.
Ted, I appreciate the time. I know you got a tight schedule here on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for joining us today on Market Talk. We'll get you back on for a longer segment here real soon.
Hey, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me. You have a great rest of your day.
And again, that's Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge joining us here today on Market Talk. A little shorter segment with Ted today. He's got a pretty busy schedule this afternoon with some TV tapings and more, but we appreciate his take and analysis on what we saw in that WASDE report here today. Let's recap the numbers for the day and look at that WASDE report. And overall, wheat gains for the most part remained intact today. They led the complex higher with otherwise mixed action throughout, as world-ending stocks fell 6.2 million metric tons below the average trade estimate on record China wheat for feed consumption. Friday's April WASDE report for U.S. ending stocks estimates was viewed as neutral for corn, beans, and wheat for this marketing year, with corn stocks revised lower, bean stocks left unchanged, and wheat stocks revised higher from March estimates. Global stocks of beans were revised higher this month with an increase in the estimated production for Brazil, viewed as bearish overall. That soy complex came under some serious selling pressure here to round out the day. Corn, despite the bullish but expected WASDE report, sold off for the morning highs as well and finished mixed on the trade as global stocks of wheat and corn were revised lower to levels less than expected in pre-report estimates viewed as bullish for both crops. And as Ted mentioned, we got some interesting math to get to the numbers that we did today. And that was really the key takeaway from our reports. Looking at our final numbers in the trade today, I just want to hit some of those. May corn down 2.5, 577 at a quarter. December corn up 1.75, 496 at a half. May beans down 12 at a quarter, 1403. November beans down 10 at 1263 and a quarter. May bean meal down 560 a ton, 401.20. May bean oil down 53 points at 5285. May Chicago wheat 10 higher, 638 three quarters. May KC wheat up 10 at 586 at a half. And May Minneapolis spring wheat 14 higher at 654 at a quarter. April lean hogs unchanged at 103.47. May up 95 at 106.37. April live cattle down 72, 123.42. June down 245 at 122.57. April feeder cattle down 237, 144.75. And May down 197 at 149.62 on the day today. Again, as you're looking at your marketing plan, we hear it a lot from all of our analysts and experts, but definitely just take the time to look over that marketing plan. Get some protection in place if you can. There's a really great opportunity for price action here in this market and to make a profit if it fits your operation. Of course, I'm no expert. Talk with your favorite expert. Get some advice with some of the folks we have on the show. Whatever the case may be, just figure things out as you're gearing up for spring planting here. It's going to be a busy time of the year, and volatility definitely here to stay in the markets, although it was a fairly quiet day today. And that's going to do it for the Friday, April 9th edition of Market Talk. Appreciate you joining us each and every day and downloading the program. Tell your friends, share it with your family, friends, and your colleagues in farming. That's probably the best way to put it. I don't know if colleagues is the right word, but we'll go with that. It has been a busy week here on the show. Again, we appreciate you being part of the Market Talk family. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Friday, April 9th edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great weekend.